Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And this is a chapter about the prayer of dedication of the temple. Solomon is dedicating the temple of God, and as he does, his prayer spells out the pros and cons of the temple, letting us know this is not the final temple. There is another coming, not one built with human hands, but Jesus himself, and that temple will have no cons, only pros. The key verse here, speaking prophetically about Christ without knowing it, Solomon prophesies in verse 9, "Nevertheless, you are not the one to build the temple, but your son, your own flesh and blood." Of course, Solomon's quoting David, but he's really quoting God. It would be the son, or as the verse continues, the son of God. He is the one who would build the temple in my name. Christ would be that son who would come in flesh and blood and build the temple of the Most High God. That temple would be destroyed, but it would also be raised up again in 3 days. Here we find Solomon's prayer of dedication. He starts by praising God's greatness, namely that God has kept his covenant or promises that he made to David. And we find that in verses 15 through 18. But in verse 18, Solomon says, "But will God really dwell on earth with humans? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you, how much less the temple I have built. Yet the Lord my God, give attention to your servant's prayer, and in his plea for mercy, hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence. May your eyes be open towards this temple day and night, this place of which you said you would put your name there. May you hear the prayer that your servant prays towards this place. Hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive." Forgiveness was of the top concern because, after all, they were sinners and they knew it. And this chapter is going to take verses 22 to 36 to unpack that last part about when you hear, forgive. Forgive what? Well, it would line up with the consequences of not being faithful to God. God, remember, in the beginning of this chapter, is praised for being faithful and keeping his promises. And yet, we know that we failed to keep the promises or our end of the bargain on the covenant or that two-sided agreement that a covenant means. And of all the plagues and curses that will come upon the people of Israel that are consequences or punishments for not obeying or keeping our end of the bargain, yet if they turn back and they come to this temple and they make atonement here and humble themselves and repent, the temple would serve as the white-hot bat phone to heaven that God would always pick up and hear and change course if they were truly repentant. Now, that happened repeatedly through Israel's history after this day. And as we'll see later in this book, not often enough. Nevertheless, we're dealing with sinful men who are, quite frankly, stupid. As simple as God makes salvation, people still don't take the simple steps to meet God when he's made it pretty easy. And here God makes a meeting place, a dwelling place, a place where people could always find him. Of course, there's a saying that says, if you feel far from God, guess who moved? Verse 22 says, "When anyone wrongs their neighbor and is required to take an oath, they come and swear the oath before your altar in this temple. Then hear from heaven and act. Judge between your servants, condemning the guilty and bringing down on their heads what they have done, and vindicating the innocent by treating them in accordance with their innocence." That's what we know as justice. And justice is important. In fact, societies can be torn apart when there's a lack of justice. But keep in mind that the only place that justice ever existed or will exist in all perfection is a place called hell. But heaven, which also has justice, also has one more thing, and that is reconciliation. That's what makes heaven heaven. That's why when Solomon said, "And hear from heaven, from your temple in heaven, and when you do, forgive." He made a heaven out of earth, or a heaven on earth in this temple, simply because grace and peace were found there. The forgiveness of God, which hell knows nothing of, only justice. but there in heaven, righteousness, justice, and mercy have met and kissed. Verse 24, when your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back and give praise to your name, praying and making supplication before you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people and bring them back to the land you gave them and their ancestors. And when the heavens are shut up and there's no rain because your people have sinned against you, and they pray towards this place and give praise to your name and turn from their sin because you've afflicted them. Verse 27, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people, Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land you gave for your people for an inheritance. There we see Solomon praying for the blessing of obedience, which also is a part of the covenant. In verse 28, when famine or plague comes to the land, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when enemies besiege them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by anyone from your people, Israel, being aware of their afflictions and pains and spreading out their hands towards this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, forgive, and deal with them according to all they do, since you know their hearts, for you alone know the human heart, so that they will fear you and walk in obedience to you for all the time they live in the land you gave your ancestor. Solomon ends this prayer in verse 40 by saying, now, my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Now arise, Lord God, come to your resting place, you in the ark of your might. May your priests, Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your faithful people rejoice in your goodness. Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promised to David, your servant. But of course, God would reject his anointed one. He would reject his son Jesus, not far from this very mount, on another mount called Golgotha, so that he could fulfill the demands of the law, as Jesus the innocent would be punished in our place, and we would go free, since the innocent was condemned. Unfortunately, as God rejected his anointed one, Christ himself would be the only way to open up the righteousness of God, so that we could fully enter into the presence of God, and he would deal with our sins in Christ. There Christ would experience more than any pains that any man, woman, or child could ever go through by experiencing hell. And there Jesus would take it fully upon himself as he was punished for every sin ever committed by you and by me. He would reject him so he could accept us. My friends, that's the gospel. That's the gospel, the good news in a nutshell. That Jesus came and lived the perfect spotless life that I couldn't and you couldn't live, but took all the guilt and the shame and the punishment for our sin. He himself would be the place that we must look, not a temple made of stone, but the person, the one whom God sent and anointed to be our Savior.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.